Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this Lord's Day that we can gather and praise you. We pray now that you would meet with us, that you'd have your way in our hearts. May we leave this place with our cups filled to overflowing with your loving grace. And we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together and sing Christ the Lord is Risen Today, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Sunday after Easter. Also on the screen, I invite you to join with us as we read together responsively. The stone that sealed Jesus' tomb has been removed.
The wrappings that held Jesus' body lie empty.
The tomb lies empty.
Death cannot hold Jesus, our Savior.
By his mercy, death cannot hold us either.
He died that we might live. And lives that we might never die.
Gracious God, Lord of life and love eternal,
we give you thanks and praise for the good news of Easter.
May the light of the resurrection guide us day by day.
And the name of your only Son be glorified forever.
And all God's people said, Amen and Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God? Yes.
Inside all its life, it's a year old, it's been spayed, it has all its shots, it's Hoyes and his carrier for her come with, and is needing a home fast. Mm-hmm. It's a small dog. I don't know exactly what the breed is. My cat's snails are in it.
Okay. And it's free?
It's free.
All right. Free with a carrier and all the toys and all the kisses and cuddling and everything is free. Yes. So see you if they're interested. Okay. See Pat and she'll take care of you. She'll set you up with a house companion. All right. Had a wedding Thursday night. Our grandson, son, whatever he is, he got married, and Dustin and Haley are on a cruise right now. So, guess who gets to take care of Marley for a week? And guess who has a really bad cold this week? Anyway, that's why Catherine isn't here. Catherine was planning on coming today, but all night long, Marley was coughing and wheezing and blowing bubbles every time she sneezed and that good stuff. So you understand, too much information. But anyway, do keep Marley in your prayers and keep Mom and Dad in your prayers this week. Exciting time for them. We had our daughter and her family from San Antonio came in. Our daughter that's in the Air Force in Florida, she came in. Her two sons came in from Columbus, Ohio, and from Nevada, from the Air Force base out there. And so there were 10 of us all together, counting our son and his wife and two kids next door. So it's been an interesting weekend. I had to come to work to get some rest. But anyway, we appreciate you keeping them in your prayers, too, as they travel back home. Any others?
Pastor. My granddaughter, Alina, she's 8. She had to have surgery this past week on her ear, and turned out they wound up having to put a prosthesis in because one of the bones was totally gone. The other two bones were deteriorated to the point that they had to be removed. Keep her in your prayers because this is not a guarantee. There's a possibility that if she moves around too much or she gets a blow anytime in the next 8 to 10 weeks, that they might have to go back in and realign this prosthesis, and I sure don't want to see that happen for her. I kept her Friday night, and we had a few little issues, but we survived the night, and she got back with Mom and Daddy on Saturday. The other is Alice, and some of you have never met my wife, Alice, but several of you here I know do know Alice. She's having a lot of problems right now, health-wise. The doctors are not sure what's going on. We just, you know, it's just an everyday issue from one thing to another. So keep Alice in your prayers as well. Report on Dad, he's doing great for 89. I hope I live to be 89 and in the same health he's in. But he's doing much better. All your prayers are very much appreciated.
Okay, thank you. Larry has been through the mill already this year. Dad and aunt and wife and granddaughter. It's a good thing you're so young and in such good health. Huh? Yeah. Right. Keep Larry in your prayers. Yes. We have, I sent a text message the other night saying this is the first time in my life I've ever been thankful when someone has lost their halo. Wanda is out of hers. Okay. So do keep her in your prayers. She is excited to be rid of that thing finally. But she's got a lot of healing to do yet, so do keep Wanda in your prayers. I do not know that. So I don't dare ask Martha. I'm afraid she might get the wrong impression. So, no, it's we appreciate all that Martha has done to fill in, but I'm not sure when Wanda will be coming back. We'll have to wait and see. But keep her in your prayers. Keep Martha in your prayers. Martha thinks she's got me in line. So just pray that she doesn't find out otherwise. As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, the weather very often reminds us of what's going on inside our hearts. So often the clouds gather in, the storms push us one way and then the other. We realize today that there are many here that have been through some storms. There are those here today who have had health issues. There are those here today who are grieving the loss of loved ones. And Lord, remind us this isn't something that happens today and we get over it tomorrow. Just like it takes us so long to heal anymore from anything that happens to these bodies, so our spirits sometimes take a long time, if ever, to heal from grief, from hurt, from frustrations, from anger. We pray that as a great physician, that you would take charge of us physically, emotionally, psychologically. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. May we dare to trust you. You know us better than we know ourselves. So may we just put it all in your hands. May we be so focused on your love and your grace in our lives and what you've done for us that we don't have time to waste on things that are not worthy of our attention and our concern. We pray today that you'd be with our troops wherever they may be. Watch over them and keep them safe. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with their families. Be with our leaders, local, state, national, world. Oh, this world is in so much turmoil, and it's nothing new. It seems like there's just one crisis after another somewhere on the globe. Help our leaders, Lord, that they might know what to do and how to deal with them. We pray today that you'd be with our schools. Most of us, Lord, when we were in school, we didn't have to deal with the issues that so many of our children and young people deal with today. We pray that you would watch over those students, their teachers, the staff. We pray, Lord, that you would help them that they might know that you're in control. Help them that their schools might be a place where learning can take place, where these students can prepare themselves for the rest of their lives. Thank you, God. We thank you for Rockwood United Methodist Church, for the many years that it's been a lighthouse here in Roane County. We pray that you'd be with those faithful members who have gone on. Keep them in our memories and our hearts, Lord. Be with those who are still laboring faithfully for your work here. Use us to your honor and glory. We ask it in the wonderful name of Jesus, who taught us all to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us. We thank you for the sunshine. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for your presence day by day. We are so blessed. We pray now that you'd bless these, our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Remain standing, if you would, please, while we sing Day of Resurrection. You say, I don't know that hymn. You know the melody. Would you play it through one time for us, please, Wayne, and then we will join in and sing. Seated. I want to share a song with you in this Easter season that kind of sums up the whole thing of Jesus Christ being born, living, dying, and rising again. You remember there on the cross, his words were, "It is finished." There's a line that has run through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle was raging for the gain of our soul or its loss. On the one side marched the forces of evil, all the demons and all the devils of hell. On the other, angels of glory, and they meet
on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance, and then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord." Yet in my heart, the battle was still raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. These were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. But then I heard that the King of the ages had fought all my battles for me. And victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. And it is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord. It is finished. The end of the conflict, it is finished, and Jesus is Lord.
There shall be showers of blessing. Oh, I like the words of the poet when he said, "Be still, sad heart, and cease repining. Behind those clouds is the sun still shining. Thy fate is the common fate of all. Into each life some rain must fall. Some days must be dark and dreary." Do you realize that the sun is shining bright, just a few hundred feet straight up? Back in 1975, I had the opportunity to take a group of 28 teenagers. Sorry, Keith. A group of 28 teenagers on a 7-day concert tour of Puerto Rico. We left St. Louis, and it was a day sort of like today, except the temperature was about 35 degrees, and the wind was blowing, and it was raining and sleeting. We got on the plane there in the darkness in St. Louis. Most of those kids had never been on a plane. A lot of them had never been more than 50 or 100 miles from St. Louis. And I told them, I says, "You kids, keep watching out the window. Got a surprise for you." About a half hour later, we broke through the clouds. Probably not that long. All of a sudden, bright blue sky, sunshine, white puffy cotton clouds below us. Everything had changed that quick. I think the kids took more pictures of the clouds and of the Caribbean when we got over it than they did when they're in Puerto Rico. But so often we get to thinking this is all there is, but folks, it's just a cloud passing over. Sunshine's coming. Okay, that's not the scripture and that's not the sermon. Stand with me, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel from John chapter 20. Early Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came from the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and I don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciple ran to the tomb to see. The other disciple outran Peter and got there first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying to the side. Then the other disciple also went in, and he saw it and believed. For until then, they hadn't realized that the scriptures said he would rise from the dead. Then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels sitting at the head and foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She glanced over her shoulder and saw someone standing behind her. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was a gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him, and I will go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. She turned toward him and exclaimed, "Teacher." "Don't cling to me," Jesus said, "for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them that I'm ascending to my Father and to your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, "I have seen the Lord." Then she gave them his message. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. A group of four-year-olds were in Sunday school. The teacher asked them, "Does anybody know what today is?" One of the little girls raised her hand and she says, "I know, today is Easter." "And what is Easter all about?" continued the teacher. Confidently, the four-year-old said, "Easter is when Jesus rose from the grave." Before the teacher could thank her for her correct answer, the little girl continued, "But if Jesus sees his shadow, then he has to go back for 6 more weeks." Back in the early 1920s, communist leader Nikolai Bukharin was asked to speak at an anti-God rally. For an hour, he ridiculed the Christian faith. Then questions were invited. An Orthodox priest rose. He turned and faced the people and gave the Easter greeting, "He is risen." Instantly, the assembly rose to its feet and the reply came back loud and clear, "He is risen indeed." You'll remember in the scriptures it tells us that Joseph of Arimathea supplied the tomb for Jesus' burial. The story is told that a friend of Joseph's came and was talking to him and said, "Joseph, that was such a beautiful tomb. So expensive. It was hand carved. Why would you give it for someone else to be buried in?" Joseph smiled and said, "Why not? He only needed it for the weekend." Easter is the oldest of Christian holidays. In reality, as people of God, we celebrate Easter every week. Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. And that became the Lord's Day. You knew that, didn't you? One of the most remarkable aspects of Christian history is that a group of Jewish believers immediately shifted their day of worship from the seventh day of the week, Saturday, to the first day of the week, Sunday. A prominent attorney one time said that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the best evidenced facts of history. Think with me. Historical proof that Jesus rose from the dead. Look at the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. Matthew 28 tells of the disciples receiving the Great Commission after the resurrection. Over in Luke 24, it talks about the two travelers on the road to Emmaus. They were walking and talking with Jesus. And they didn't realize it till later. Luke 24 also tells about Peter seeing Jesus. Easter night, all of the disciples except Thomas and others saw Jesus. Again, they're in Luke 24. John 20, we read that Mary Magdalene saw him. Also in that chapter, the women returning from the tomb saw the resurrected Christ. The next Sunday night, all the disciples saw Jesus. John 21, seven disciples were by the Sea of Galilee and they saw him. Acts 1 talks of the ascension where Jesus rose up into heaven. The apostles saw him there. 1 Corinthians 15 says that 500 people in Galilee saw the resurrected Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, James saw him. 1 Corinthians 15 also says that the apostle Paul saw him. In John 14, 19, it reminds us, because I live, you shall also live. Let me give you four reasons that the resurrection is important to you and me as God's children. Because he lives, his resurrection shows that he is Lord. Paul said, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Number two, because he lives, death is not the end. It is our gateway to eternity. Easter helps you and me to prioritize that which is earthly and that which is eternal. As a young man new to the ministry, Dwight L. Moody was asked to do a funeral. Well, he wanted to do it right. So he hunted all through the scriptures trying to find one of Jesus' funeral sermons. But he searched in vain. When he got to studying the scriptures, he found out that Jesus broke up every funeral that he attended. Death could not exist where Jesus was. When the dead heard the voice of Jesus, they sprang to life. Jesus reminds you and me today. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." A six-year-old girl became violently ill. They tried in vain everything they could think of to treat her at the hospital, but she died. The family was grieving around the casket. The father, who was not a man of faith, leaned over and kissed the little girl. And with tears running down his cheeks, he said, "Goodbye forever." The mother, also with tears, bent over and kissed her. And she said, "Darling, you're only with us for 6 years. But I will see you soon and we'll be with Jesus forever." The resurrection of Jesus Christ makes all the difference in the world in our eternity. Number three, because he lives, we are empowered to live for him. During Napoleon's Austrian campaign, his army advanced to within 6 miles of Feldkirch, Austria. It looked as though the town was going to be taken by Napoleon's army without even putting up a fight. But as they were advancing, the people of Feldkirch were gathered in a little church to pray. You see, it was Easter Eve. The next morning at sunrise, all the church bells of the village rang out, echoing across the countryside. Napoleon's army didn't realize it was Easter Sunday, and they thought that the bells must be ringing because maybe during the night the Austrian army came in and were now occupying the town, and so the people were celebrating. So Napoleon decided his best tactic would be to order a retreat. And the Battle of Feldkirch never took place. The Easter bells caused the enemy to retreat, and peace reigned in Austria. Now, I don't need to tell you that day by day, it seems like so often we're surrounded by our enemies seeking to break down the walls of our soul. But because he lives, the enemy is forced to retreat. Aren't we glad for the assurance that we can do all things through Christ? If it hadn't been for Easter, there would not have been a Pentecost. If it hadn't been for Pentecost, there would not be a Christian church. And number four, because he lives, our lives and words should bear witness of the good news. Let's go on with this. Because he lives, there are at least six things that we have. First of all, because he lives, we can have healing. Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it is we need, he can heal us. There was a Russian by the name of Sasha that had climbed up onto the roof of a Russian Orthodox church. He was going to break in and steal anything and everything he could find of value. Unfortunately, as he climbed up the dome, it broke through. He fell all the way to the floor and broke both legs. His life flashed before him as he fell. But he said later he heard an audible voice telling him that he would live. As he lay on the floor, unable to move, waiting for the police to arrive, he studied all of the biblical themed paintings around the walls, all the artwork that was there. He saw the stained glass that spoke of Jesus and his resurrection. Shortly afterward, he gave his life to Christ. Then another miracle occurred. Because the crime that he had committed normally would require 10 to 15 years in prison. But his case became so bogged down in the court system that by the time they were ready to bring him to trial a year later, his life had changed so dramatically that the case was dismissed. He now helps run a Russian Bible correspondence school. You know, often we feel like Sasha, we feel like we're mixed up, we're on the wrong road, we stumble, we fall, we're hurting. But because Jesus is alive, he can and will and does heal our hearts and lives. Number two, because he lives, we have hope. In the late 60s and early 70s, America was in turmoil with a war in Southeast Asia and riots across our nation. That doesn't sound too much different than 2016 and 2017, does it? Wars abroad and riots here and all that sort of thing. It was about that same time that Bill Gaither contracted mononucleosis, which left him continually exhausted. And about that time, too, Bill and Gloria discovered that they were expecting a child. They asked themselves, if the world is like this now, how in the world will we be able to raise that child 15 or 16 years from now when that child's a teenager? Then they realized that the resurrection of Jesus Christ gave them hope for their tomorrows, whatever the circumstances. And it was then that they were able to sit down and write, "How sweet to hold a newborn baby and feel the pride and joy he gives, but greater still the calm assurance this child can face uncertain days because he lives." We're going to be singing that in just a few minutes. Three, because he lives, we have holiness. Romans 4:25, Paul said he was handed over to die because of our sins. He was raised to life to make us right with God. The word righteous, guess what? It's because he lives. The shed blood of Jesus and the power of the resurrection provide all that's necessary for our salvation. Coming down the home stretch here, number four, because he lives, we have happiness. John 16, in the upper room on the eve of his crucifixion, Jesus is talking to the disciples. Says Jesus realized they wanted to ask him about it, so he said, "Are you asking yourselves what I meant? I said in a little while you won't see me, but a little while after that you'll see me again. I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn over what is going to happen to me, but the world will rejoice. You will grieve, but your grief will suddenly turn to wonderful joy. So you can have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Then you will rejoice, and no one can rob you of that joy." February 27th, 1991, during Desert Storm, three men in army uniforms appeared at Ruth Dillow's home to tell her that her son, Clayton Carpenter, Private First Class, had stepped on a landmine in Kuwait and was dead. Ruth wrote, "I can't describe my grief and shock. It was almost more than I could bear. For 3 days I wept. For 3 days people tried to comfort me, but to no avail because the loss was so great." Pardon me. 3 days after that visit, her telephone rang. A familiar voice said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Ruth Dillow said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but I recognized this voice. He was alive. There was a mix-up in the identity of the dead soldier." She said, "I laughed, I cried, I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I thought was dead, was alive." Do you know today we could travel the world, and in Medina we could see the tomb of Muhammad. In China, we could see the tombs of Buddha and Confucius. I don't know, but we might even see their remains in those tombs. Back in 2000, I had the opportunity to go to Israel and Jordan. I visited both of the traditional locations where the tomb of Jesus may have been. One was the garden tomb, and the other one was inside the Church of the Sepulchre. Now, I'm not sure which one of those is historically and really and truly the right location. I tend to favor the garden tomb, but a lot of others favor the tomb that had the Church of the Sepulchre built around it. But one thing I did notice, in both of them, the tombs were empty. That's what matters. Imagine the grief of the disciples on Friday as they saw Jesus die on the cross. Then imagine their joy 2 days later when they saw Jesus alive again. That is a joy that you and I can have in our hearts as well. Five, because he lives, we have heaven. According to Philippians 3, 20 and 21, when Jesus comes again, our bodies will be transformed. We'll be fit and fitted for eternity, ready for everlasting life and mansions of glory. And then number six, because he lives, we can have him. John 14, 18 said, I will not abandon you as orphans. Easter reminds us all year long that we serve a risen Savior and he's in the world today. Because he lives, we have healing, hope, holiness, happiness, heaven in him. Because he lives, we will live also. Here and now, and forever, and always. Because he lives. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would speak to our hearts. Remind us that we serve a risen Savior. Remind us that we don't need to go around with long faces and heavy hearts. Even in times of sorrow, we can have joy. Even in times of war, we can have peace. Even in times of illness and accident, we can enjoy the healing touch of the great physician. Help us that we might celebrate his birth, his death, and his resurrection every moment of every day. In Jesus' name, amen. You know the song we talked about a little while ago? One that says, God sent his son, they called him Jesus. Then on that chorus, let's just let it ring, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. How many know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow? Exactly. But he does. We're not alone. He's going to go through it with us. Let's stand and sing and celebrate.
Way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory, and I'll know he reigns.
Now may you leave this place with the assurance that you serve a risen Savior, that He does walk with you and talk with you, that He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.